has said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart like a treasure, like something that's priceless, something that's special, that I might not sin against Thee." A sinning man will quit reading God's word. And a word reading man will not sin. He will not sin. Praying man will quit sinning. And sinning man will quit praying. So it's important that we have the word of the Lord. But it's more important that we pray for the right understanding of that book. Amen.
It's a
precious book. We have overlooked it so many times and failed to give God the praise and honor and glory for His divine word. It's ever settled in heaven. It should be settled in our hearts. Amen.
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, You see and You know this morning, God, what the need is. I want to be Your servant, God. I don't want to be out of Your will. I want You to speak to us, God. As no one else can, You can speak, Lord. Help us to be still and to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Give us an ear to hear, God. Give us a spirit to obey and love Your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
I want to read some scripture out of Hebrews. Chapter 12, please.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Illegitimate children is what he's saying. Furthermore, ye have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, which without no man shall see the Lord. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, in this scripture, we might think sometimes, well, Brother Ross, you read too much, and he doesn't keep the same exhortation. He's talking here about running a race.
Yes, he is.
And he's talking about that race that will end at the rapture, or end when we are in heaven. That's the end of our race. But until then, we cannot quit. We cannot let up. We cannot run one day and the next day be discouraged, the next day be despondent, the next day be wanting to quit and running. We've got to continuously run. In running a race, there is no place to let up. There's no place to stop. And Paul here is talking about striving for the prize. In 1 Corinthians, he said 9 and 24, in Galatians 2 and 2, he said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." Amen. And there is going to be hindrances to this race. You always are going to have hindrances to the race because we have an enemy that's opposing us and would like for us to stop and get, discouraged and get stayed by the wayside and not get back in the race. And he said in Galatians 5 and 7, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" And in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2 and 5, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." We've got to strive lawfully to win this race. You can't run it on your own. We must go by the Word of God. Amen. And then he talked about in Philippians 3 and 14, he talked about pressing towards the goal. "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. I press towards the mark.
Hallelujah.
I press towards the finishing line. I press to the point where when I get to there, I am finished.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'll have a reward. I'll get a reward.
Amen.
So he said, what he was saying in essence and spirituality, he said, "I'm running swiftly in the race. I'm running swiftly, and I've got my eyes upon the finish line."
Amen.
Upon the mark, upon the finish line. And that's the problem with a lot of people today. They're running, but they really don't have their eyes upon the finish line. They don't have their eyes upon the prize and the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in their lives. And so therefore they can easily be discouraged. They can easily be sidetracked. But Paul is telling us here in this particular scripture, there's some things that we have to do so we will not get sidetracked. Amen? And he said, looking, amen, for the finish line. And then he said, we must lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. There is always something to beset us. Weights. You know, they used weights, they say, in the old days in the races or practicing for the race. They put weights around their wrist. They put weights around their waist. They put weights around their ankles. And they practice with those weights on. They run as fast as they could with those weights on. And the day of the race, they would take the weights off. And then they could run fast. I mean, they were just so free. And they could, you know, they had practiced with the weights. And here they are without the weights, and they can run fast.
Hallelujah.
And Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, well, we're practicing. No, we're not in a practice. We're in the real race. We're in the real race. Amen. So lay aside the weights. We are to lay aside those weights and run with everything that is within us. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, however how much effort we got to put in it, put it all aside. Lay it aside. Amen. No, the Roman general
in the Roman armies, they were real strict on their soldiers. And when they went off to war, this one Roman general, he inspected their baggage. He inspected everything they had. He would not allow them to take anything that they did not need to fight the battle. He said it was bulk. It was weight. It took extra attention. And it took away their training. They had an extra weight to carry around with them. So we're in the real battle. We're in the real race. Don't carry any extra baggage. Don't carry any extra weight. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Amen. You might lose your soul because of that extra weight. Get to the place to where you can say, whatever it takes, God, that's what I want to do. That's what I want. I want to make heaven. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to make heaven regardless of the cost. Whatever it costs me, I want to make heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Getting ready for the race is not a wimpy thing. It takes something to get ready for this race. Somebody told me that getting old was not for wimps. And I can tell you, I agree with them 100%. I am old. I may not be as old as some, but I'm old. And I can tell you this getting old is not for wimps. I can tell you something else. Running this race is not for wimps. Come on here. It's for people that's got their minds made up. It's for people that says, I am going all the way. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to lay aside, whatever I have to do, I'm going all the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul talked about the weight, some things that might not keep you out of heaven, but I can tell you they will slow you up. They'll cause you not to be able to do your best for God. What we need to do is lay them aside and work for souls. Come on. Work for those that are lost. Win the lost at any cost, whatever it costs us. Hey, one trip. You're not going to take your riches with you. You're not going to take those things that you've gathered up in this life. You cannot take them with you. You can't take that money you're hoarding in the bank with you.
Come on, now. Hallelujah.
Go ahead.
Come on, brother.
I've heard a few people talk about, I'll live on a fixed income. They won't tell you what the fixed income is either. I hear people tell you, we don't have no money. And they think because it's in a savings account or put away somewhere or another where they can't lay their hands on it right quick like, that they don't have any money. That's wrong. That's a lie. Come on, you better be careful here. Lying will shut you out of heaven. Hey, I know I'm playing this morning, but that's all right. I'm talking about laying aside weights. Come on. Riches can be a weight to you just as quick as anything else. Hobbies can be a weight to you just as quick as anything else. Pastime and pleasure can be a weight to you like anything else. Lay them aside. We don't have time to do nothing but work for the kingdom. If I didn't have a love for the gospel and preach the gospel and love for souls and love to help people, I would not preach anymore. Brother Dan, I'd go home. I'd settle down. I'd keep up my place and that's all I'd do. But I'd be one of the most miserable people in the world. I've got a desire in the heart. I may not have the strength to preach it like I want to, but I have a longing, I have a desire, I have a hunger, I have a thirsting. And I don't want anything, especially anything that I own, anything that I have. I don't want that. Amen. Let us run with patience, he said. Enduring. Continuance. Waiting. steadfastness, constancy. Constancy.
Amen.
Constantly, continually.
Hallelujah.
Not part-time.
Yeah, that's right.
Not half-time.
Amen.
Not sometime.
Amen.
But all the time.
Amen.
All the time. Continuously.
Amen.
Come on here.
Amen.
We go to church on Sunday. We're busy in worshiping the Lord. Go back home, and from Monday till Saturday, we think belongs to us. We can do like we want to. No, it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. You belong to God. Continually serving the Lord. Not being swerved from what you're supposed to do. Loyalty. Hallelujah. Even in the greatest trials and sufferings. Anybody know anything about trials? And temptations and persecutions and hardship? We've got to be patient in all of those and continuously serve the Lord.
Amen.
In all of those.
Amen, amen, amen.
This is not a part-time job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I feel His presence here this morning. And He gave us the answer to this, how to do this. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we're looking at our brother or our sister, or if we're looking at the church, or somebody down the street, or some family member, you'll probably get discouraged and quit. But He said, look unto Jesus. Jesus said, if you endure like I've endured and overcome, He said, you'll be able to sit down with me as I have sat down with my Father in His kingdom. But if you don't overcome, if you don't endure, then you cannot sit down with me. And He said, He was the author and finisher of our faith. Looking at the finish line, don't take your eyes off of it. Looking at what Jesus went through, keep your eyes off of anything except Jesus. And you won't be discouraged. You won't be despondent. And you won't be disappointed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
If you look at Jesus, you won't be disappointed. If you look at me somewhere along the line, you might be disappointed. But if you look at Jesus, you will never be disappointed. And Paul said, that's the way, or the writer of Hebrews said, that's the way that you will continuously, that you will have patience, that you will go on. He suffered the contradiction of sinners. You know what? You'll find in the New Testament where the publicans and the sinners were drawn unto Him. Right? They were drawn unto Him. So it weren't those sinners. Brother Danny, had to be religious sinners. They're the one that contradicted Him. And those are the greatest to overcome. It's religious sinners. They're the one that can discourage you the most. And so Jesus, He is saying, Jesus overcome those, and we can overcome them in this race. So I don't get my eyes on people. I just live like the Word of God tells me I should live. I pray and seek God for myself. I don't let somebody else do my praying for me.
Come on now.
Come on here now.
Amen.
Some of you are letting somebody else do your praying for you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for mine. Come on here. What you need to do is get on your knees. It's all right to say pray for me and pray for mine.
Come on now.
But you need to pray for him first.
Amen.
Amen. I got to hurry on that. Hallelujah. Separation. We got to be separated from others. Got to be separated from the world, separated from anything that will hinder you. That's got to be part of it. Amen?
Yes.
It's one, the captain. Jesus was our captain. He's one that takes the lead in anything. Thus affords an example. He's a predecessor. He's in a matter of pioneering a work, in matter of being first. Mm-hmm. That's the one that we should look at.
Right.
He came into this world. And somebody said, but he was the Son of God. He never did anything, miracle or anything, or overcome the temptation of the devil by the Son of God. He did it as the Son of Man.
Amen.
Go back and check your scripture. He did it as the Son of Man. Because he wanted to be an example for us. If he had done it as the Son of God, then we could have said, he's the Son of God, and we can't do what Jesus did. But I can tell you, he said, he's the author, he's the finisher of our faith, he's the one to look to.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's a perfecter.
Yeah. Come on, Lord.
He perfects everything. Amen? And Paul said then, he said that we should, I'm losing my place here. Let me go back. Jesus talked about weights. Let me go back. I'm messing up here. Just pray for me. Burdened down with cares of the life, anxiety, all of those things. Heavy heart could become a hard heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life.
Right.
And that day come upon you unawares.
Yeah, what he said.
I looked up the overcharged. I mean, I looked up the weight, you know, overcharged. It means to weigh down.
Mm-hmm.
It means to weigh down, to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
To cause you strength that you cannot afford for something else.
Come on.
It means because the wooing and drawing and pricking and convicting Spirit of God does not override the heaviness of heart. It will not override the heaviness of heart. You first got to get rid of the heaviness of heart. You got to get off the weights of this world and the things that are holding you back. And then the Spirit will woo and draw and prick and convict and lead and guide and direct and anoint. But as long as you're keeping the weights of the world and the things are just weighing you down, the Spirit of the living God will not override those things. That is your choice. You must get rid of that. You must get rid of it. And then the Spirit of God will woo and draw you and prick you and convict you. Amen? And then he talked about we must lay aside every sin. He talked about the besetting sin. A besetting sin. And you might ask, well, what is a besetting sin? A besetting sin is the most common sense to this word is to surround. It means to surround. And it's like something that surrounds you. Now, I have an illustration I want to give you. I'd like to come down here and give you this illustration. It's like you see the big giant oak tree. The great big oak tree. Well, you see this little ivy vine right at the foot of that oak tree, about 2 inches high. And you ask that ivy vine, if you could talk to it, you'd say, little ivy vine, what are you doing? It says, I am clinging. I am clinging. You come back sometime later, year or so,
big old oak tree. He's gone around the oak tree a time or two and he's headed up the oak tree. Then you say, little ivy vine, what are you doing? He'll say, I am climbing. Mm-hmm. And then you come back a year or so, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. And you say to the ivy vine, what are you doing? And it says, I am climbing. Mm-hmm. I am climbing.
Amen. Amen.
So a besetting sin is a wraparound sin.
Yeah.
And it just starts out clinging.
Mm-hmm.
And then it climbs. Mm-hmm. And then it clings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes.
Little sin doesn't mean you're going to get by. Because a little sin grows into a big sin.
Amen.
Sin is sin is sin is sin in the sight of God.
Come on now.
All sin is rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All sin is you're saying to God, I don't want what you got for me. I'd rather obey the sin. I'd rather live in this world. I'd rather enjoy the riches and the fullness of pleasure in this world. I'd rather have sin than I had heaven.
Come on, brother.
That's what you're saying. And God is offended in that.
Right.
So a besetting sin is a wraparound sin. And sin can never be done away with until you repent of that sin. Until you get rid of that sin out of your life. Until you lay it aside. Come on. It may be look like a small habit. Somebody here needs this right here. It may look like just a small habit, amen. But I tell you, a habit can pull you away from your dedication. Can pull you away. And eventually that sin will destroy you.
Right. Amen.
Will pull you right down into hell.
Yes.
God help us.
Amen, brother.
God help us. We need to realize that sin God hates and sin God will not put up with.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
It also calls for temperance. Every man that striveth, he said, for the mastery. It's temperate in all things. We're striving for a mastery. You hear me? And we've got to be temperate. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The world does it for a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Temperance means self-control. Self-control. That's the first thing it means. And you say, self-control? I thought Jesus was in control. He does not make your decisions for you. He will if you listen to Him. But you've got to make the decision to pray. You've got to make the decision to commit. You've got to make the decision to read His Word. You got to make decisions that you're going to go all the way with God. You're going to church. You're going to do what the church tells you to do. You're going to live for God. You got to make that decision. You are in control.
Hallelujah.
We blame God failed me. No, He never failed you. You failed to make up your mind to serve God's what it is. Come on. Amen. So temperance is self-control, especially the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetite. Come on.
Come on, man.
There's people in the church world today, you'd be surprised, you'd be shocked, that fights the sensual appetites, the temptations. Come on. Especially in the world that we're living in. All you got to do is walk out on the street. All you got to do is go to Walmart. And nakedness abounds. They're flaunting it. You hear me? I know you might say, Brother Ross, you shouldn't. Yes, they're flaunting it. They want people to look at them. They want you to see that they're half naked. Part of their body is not hid that should be hid. That's exactly what they want. And it causes, if we're not careful, if we're not prayed up, we're not seeking God, if we don't have everything under the blood, come on here. We sometimes want to think, oh, we're holiness people. We're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And on fire for God. I can tell you right now, you better not linger. You better not look the second time. It becomes a sensual appetite. And the enemy will use it against you. That's right. It means to be steadfast. Amen. Steadfast. Made up mind. Hallelujah. A made up mind. Praise God. Then it means that there's got to be discipline in our lives. Chastening of the Lord. God chastens us. Those He loves, those He receives, those that are born into the kingdom of God, He chastens those. He corrects us. He instructs us in the ways of righteousness. Amen. There's a lot of people get their holiness clothes on, think that's the end of it. I'm on my way to heaven. I can make it to heaven just because I got my holiness clothes on. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. Holiness clothes is not going to do anything except it's a fulfillment of what the Bible said you should do. Dress modestly. It's in order. It's a divine order of God. It is our bodies in order. It is ladies dressing right and men dressing right. Order. It's the same order that God used when He created the heavens. He put everything in order, did He not? And so it's the same thing with you and I. God tells us to dress right. He's put us in order. He wants us to be in order. He don't want us to dress like the world and look like the world.
Amen.
Amen. So there, sometimes God has to chasten us.
Yes.
He has to correct us.
Yes.
And we are to be in subject to the Father of spirits.
Yes.
Amen. And His Word. Amen. Preached Word. I know you get that. I know you get that preaching here. I know you do. I don't have to worry about it. You know, it's sad. Some churches I go to, or some churches I know, you got to be careful about preaching about sanctification. They got people that's saved, and they don't want to upset them. And I'm not upsetting people. I don't upset people that's saved. They're saved. They're saved. They're saved. I don't want to upset them. But I'm telling you right now, there's a sanctification and there's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on here. I'm not going to say that you can't get to heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you one thing. You better be careful. There's a certain amount of sanctification that's got to be on this temple before we can get to heaven. Come on. Amen. And the outward appearance is not the only sanctification. The spirit of man inside of him. Amen. We've got to let God control that. The scripture was read this morning in the Sunday school class. Come out from among them, be a separate people, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Amen. Seeing, you know, we have these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Get that spirit.
Amen.
God's spirit rules over your spirit. Come on here. And then you rule over the rest of you with that spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, if we don't receive correction, we don't receive instruction, then are we illegitimate children. God will not treat you as a child if you don't obey Him.
Amen.
And we're still talking about running the race.
Amen.
Amen. Paul's talking about the same thing. He went on. I'm going to tell you something. Self-discipline is one of the greatest things in the world for children of God. And so many people have no self-discipline. No self-discipline. I'm the one that's supposed to control me. Prayer life. Bible reading, studying. Come on. You cannot live right day after day after day after day and not pray.
Amen.
Absolutely.
You cannot do. You got to discipline yourself in prayer life. If you got a family at home, it'd be a shame if you did not get that family and pray with them. You need to pray with them. Come on. Hallelujah. Brother Ross, you're meddling now. No, I'm not preaching God's word. Yes. Not meddling. We need to pray with our family.
Right.
You talk about strength. It brings strength. We had a 40th wedding anniversary because I think I had preached that the end was upon us so long that my children believed it. And they said, Mom and Daddy's not going to make it to the 50th one. So, because the rapture is going to take place, and so they had a 40th one for us. That's right, I preached it. I lived it too. I was looking for Jesus to come.
Right.
I'm still looking for Him.
Yes. Amen.
Anybody here looking for Jesus
Amen.
To come?
Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
My daughter got up and she did one thing that really, really touched me. I cried. She said, I remember when we moved into a certain parsonage to pastor. She said, I remember they'd go to bed and she said, I remember that you could hear what was going on in every room, you know, because it wasn't insulated. And she said, I remember hearing my daddy praying like his heart was going to break. And seeking God. She said, that touched me. She said, that touched me. I remember a time when she was having some problems, serious problems. And I don't remember exactly what they were. And I was a little bit plain, I guess. But I remember telling her. I told her, you know, God would have. She said, well, that's easy for you to say. And I finally just told, this was my oldest daughter, and I finally just told her, you get off your lazy self and get on your knees before God. I said, God will make a way for you.
Amen. That's right. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Exactly right.
Come on here now. I'm in this far. I might as well go ahead.
Come on.
You cannot live without prayer. And don't think because you keep everything and you're not out there lusting and greeting and all that stuff. No, you need to have communion with Him. Amen. Communion. I was telling Brother Dan, just walked up here and he was sitting on the floor there and playing with his grandbaby, and I just walked up there and we got to talking, and I told him, I said, about praying. I said, sometimes you just have to get down before God. You just have to surrender. You just have to. You really don't know what to do. You're just there. You're saying, God, I want you to help me. And then finally you just say, I surrender, God. I surrender. I just surrender to you. Everything to you, God. I belong to you. Everything I have belongs to you. My life, my desires, everything belongs to you, God. Come on here. You want to know why you're struggling to run this race? It's because you're not surrendering to God in prayer. Submit therefore to God. Come on here. Submit therefore to God. Amen. Then resist the devil. You can't resist the devil until you have submitted to God. Then when you submit to God, he said, then God will draw nigh to you, or you draw nigh to God, and then He will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Not praying is resisting God.
Right.
That's right. I know. About dry as cracker juice this morning, huh?
Come on, brother. Good. Come on, brother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Paul stayed faithful to God. Stayed faithful to Him. History, not the Word of God, but history says that when Paul got right down to the end and the Roman soldier come to get him and take him to the execution place, the chop block or whatever it was to take his head off. So the history reveals that Paul broke loose from him and ran to the chop block.
Mm-hmm.
and laid his head down there.
Yeah. Mm.
I hear him saying, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There is henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whom the righteous judge shall give to me. And not to me only, but unto all of those that love his appearing. I want to stay faithful, Brother John. I want to run this race. I want to finish this race. I don't want to let no besetting sin or no weight pull me back to where I cannot do my best for God.
Amen, brother. Come on. Hallelujah.
I know I'm losing. I know I'm losing strength long. I can tell that. I know I'm not able to get up and go like I used to. And sometimes that's the reason why you might say, Brother Wall, stay close to the pulpit. But I'm still preaching.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And I'm still going to preach.
Go ahead.
I'm thankful that Brother, the pastors of this church appreciate me enough to let me preach in their pulpit.
Yeah.
I really do. I thank
them. Yes,
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to run the race right down to the end, Brother Cottle. It doesn't matter what it costs me. I'm going to stay right down to the end. If I have to give my life physically, I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to run this race. How about you? I'm going to lay aside everything that might hinder me. I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to let Him discipline me. How does He do that? Through the Word of God. He disciplines us through the Word of God. I'm going to let Him do all of that to me. It's going to be worth it. Nathan, it's going to be worth everything that it takes for us to get to heaven. Whatever it takes, it's going to be worth it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're close.
Yes, we are.
We're close to finishing the race.
Yes.
We're close to the finishing line. The story was told about a race here, a physical race. And the racers, three of them come in. That's all they're supposed to recognize. But all of a sudden, one man that was having trouble running, he comes staggering into the arena. And you're supposed to go around the arena to the finishing line. And he was struggling. And they said the story went that he'd fall and he'd get up and staggering and running, Brother Dan, pretty soon the people in the stands were about to leave, but they saw him coming and they began to cheer him on. Said, come on, you can make it. You can do it. And he'd fall down and he'd get up again and begin to run. Fall down. They said, come on, get up. You can do it. And he'd come on. He got up again and kept coming around. And finally, he went across the finishing line. If we fall, we can get up. We can get up. Hallelujah. So if you have failed, you can get up this morning. Stand with me, please.
Hallelujah.
I want to pray with you before you do whatever you want to do. If you want to come to the altar, fine, whatever. I want to pray with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you see the congregation. You see the need of the hour. Lord, you see the struggle. Oh, living God, you see the struggle that's among some of them. Lord, help them to lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset them. Help them to run with patience, Lord, the race that is set before them. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. Hallelujah. Help them, Lord, to keep running. To keep working, God. To keep laboring. To keep praying. To keep seeking your face, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. You're faithful, God, you're faithful. You're faithful, Lord. You're faithful, my Father. In the name of Jesus. You're faithful, living God. Help us to win. Help us, Lord, to have made up minds and fixed hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.